Welcome everybody, this is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast, and this time we're going to talk about OAuth and OpenID Connect and the importance of these two things for the future of SharePoint Online and Office 365 development. With me today is Paolo Pialorsi. I somehow always magically pronounced Paolo's name in the wrong way. Seems to be a Finglish thing. So Paolo is going to lead the presentation. I'm going to ask again questions around the individual topics. And we will have a nice demo around how to make this work, these things to work and how things actually work in practice. Paolo, please do your introductions and take the lead.
Yes, thank you, Visa. Welcome, everybody. I'm Paolo Pialorsi from PSys.com. I'm a senior consultant focused on .NET, SharePoint, and Office 365 technologies. I'm an MVP on Office Server and Services and an MCM on SharePoint. So in this session, the focus will be OAuth and OpenID Connect, and with a specific target, which is how to use these protocols and these technologies to consume the Office 365 APIs, the Microsoft Graph APIs. And so we will focus our attention on how the protocols work within the Office 365 architecture and infrastructure. So if you agree, Visa, we can move to the agenda and have a look of what we will see briefly in this webcast. First of all, we will start to introduce Azure Active Directory from a technological perspective and from an architectural perspective. And then we will move to the two protocols that are involved whenever you want to consume APIs and REST APIs within Office 365. I mean, Open Authorization, OAuth 2.0, and Open ID Connect. So let's start with the real content and let's see what happens. So first of all, Azure Active Directory. What is it, Azure Active Directory? It's a directory system on the cloud which sits under the cover of every Office 365 tenant. A Azure Active Directory tenant is used to store identities. And when I say identities, I mean identities which can be stored only on the cloud and which are called the cloud identities, or also identities that are replicated across premises between an on-premises directory system and the cloud and Azure Active Directory through, for example, an AD sync tool, which can synchronize and replicate identities from the on-premises directory to the cloud. And within Azure Active Directory, we have the capability to manage the identities as well as applications that that can consume the services and the tools offered by Azure Active Directory and by all the applications that leverage Azure AD under the cover, like Office 365, for example. Azure AD provides a rich set of protocols to consume these services. For example, it can be used to do authentication and authorization using the SAML protocol, the AWS Federation protocol, as well as the Open Authorization protocol, which we'll discuss briefly later in the session. It also provides a set of metadata that can describe the services and the endpoints provided by Azure AD, as well as a set of APIs offered through a REST endpoint, a representational stateful transfer endpoint, which can be used to browse through the identities and the application and the services registered in Azure AD, as well as to create new content, so new objects inside the directory system. Of course, from an IT pro perspective, but also from a developer perspective, there is also a management portal which can be used to manage Azure AD, or you can even use PowerShell if you want to interact with your directory system on the cloud. From
Just to summarize on quickly on a few of the things. So like you said, Paolo, every single time somebody creates a tenant in Office 365, we will actually create an Azure AD or Azure subscription as well, with the Azure AD linked to that tenant as well. But technically, obviously, you don't have to have an Office 365 to have an Azure AD.
So. Yes, exactly. You can play with Azure AD even without an Office 365 subscription. And to be completely clear, Azure Active Directory in its basic offering is also free, which is a killer feature of this service because you can have a directory system on the cloud for free. Okay, so it's really powerful from my perspective.
Absolutely,
of course.
Absolutely. And nowadays, like well, I'm not a super expert on Azure Active Directory, but you can actually have computers linked to the Azure AD as well, so you don't have to have them sync or link to the on-premises directory. Isn't that the case?
With Windows 10, yes, if your client is Windows 10, you can do direct logon at the startup of your PC, desktop or laptop against an Azure ID domain stored on the cloud. So yes, you can do that with Windows 10.
Yeah. Which is super, super cool, but completely off the topic of today's discussion. But let's not actually spend too much time on it. But great summary, and I can see that we're showing the modern management portal UI in the picture as well. Even though I'm an old school guy, I always use the old one. We should learn to use the new one as well, because that's where the new development happens.
Yes, and by the way, from an Azure AD perspective, some of the capabilities are still only available in the old school management portal. So
sure.
Even in our demos, we will use the old one to do some of our tasks.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cool. So, what about developing applications which want to leverage Azure Active Directory and Office 365? Well, from an Azure AD and Office 365 perspective, if you want to create a custom software solution which can leverage Azure AD, you can create web or REST API solutions, so solution offered over HTTP and HTTPS. Of course, HTTPS is the suggested way to do communication in a REST-based world for security reasons, of course. And you can also register or create so-called native applications. So, for example, applications for Windows desktop, for smartphone, tablets, or devices more in general. And whenever you register, you store a custom application in the Azure Active Directory repository, you will be able to use the Azure ID service to authenticate users that will consume your web, REST, or native applications. And you will also be able to leverage the Azure ID infrastructure and services to do authorization, to authorize consumption of services of services and applications that you provide and that you've registered in the Azure AD tenant. From a web and REST API perspective, you can use OpenID authentication to authenticate your users, and OAuth, so open authorization, to do the authorization stuff. And using these technologies, you can enforce authorization rules, or when you want to consume your own APIs from your own applications. So you can create your applications, register them in Azure AD. You can create APIs, register them as well in Azure AD, and define the authorization rules to consume those APIs from your own applications. But you can also use, and this is the part that is really interesting for us as Office 365 developers, you can also register your own applications in order to being able to consume the Office 365 APIs, which are already available in every Azure AD tenant, which sits under the cover of an Office 365 subscription. So it is really, really powerful. And if you simply want to provide your own REST APIs and you want to let the other people, the other developers, to consume your APIs, you can still do that as well. So you can register your set of services in Azure AD, you can define your own custom permissions, and you can assign authorization rules to users which will authenticate against Azure AD and which will consume your custom APIs. So, again, from a developer perspective, Azure AD is really, really powerful.
On that one, actually, Paolo, just to clarify
yep.
again and link back on something related on, let's say, SharePoint provider hosted add-ins, because I know that a lot of the people listening to this webcast are coming from a provider hosted add-ins perspective. And then in an old school way, well, or a semi old school way, how would we put it? They were registering they were using AppRec new ASPX pages. They were registering client ID and a secret, and then they provided permissions using the app.asp.x page. So what's the advantage of actually doing this? So why are we now fussing? What's the big fuss about Azure AD and Office 365 applications comparing to that one? Because you could use the access tokens from ACS directly as well.
Yes, that's true. By the way, if you register your application as a SharePoint application only, as a SharePoint add-in only, you will be able to consume SharePoint only. On the other side, if you register your custom applications in Azure AD as Office 365 applications, you will be able to consume the entire ecosystem of services provided by Office 365 using a unique development model, as we will see also in another webcast that will come out in the future about consuming the Microsoft Graph. And you will see also in this session, by the way, and in the demo, that using just a unique access token, you will be able to consume Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and all the other services provided by the Office 365 ecosystem.
So you could actually read, for example, the let's say the presence information, calendar information of your users, and all of that stuff, which is then a really great improvement. Because when you think of it, even in when we were still in on-premises and building the on-premises SharePoint experiences, quite often people wanted to have an integration to the calendars and emails and let's say presence, and that was extremely difficult to do or impossible to do. Now, using this one, this OpenID Connect and Azure AD as the tooling and for authorization, we can actually make that happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just to make an example, just a few weeks ago, we made a custom solution for a customer of ours, for example, in which we get email attachments for specific email using an email app built using the Office 365 and the Office app model. And we can get the attachments from an email. We can put those attachments in a library. We can play with stuff like SharePoint Online workflows against those documents. And so you can use the entire ecosystem of services within a unique software development solution, so you have more power and more access to the entire set of services provided by Office 365.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Just a having some, let's say, even a patch, let's say, process, which is checking incoming emails to a random, let's say, operational email address, and then based on the content of the email, it is redirecting that to right persons or whatever. Obviously, the opportunities and possibilities are endless in the model.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just to very, very quickly move to the protocol landscape, when we say that the applications registered in Azure AD can use OpenID for authentication and Open Authorization for authorization, of course, we mean that the Open Authorization Protocol by itself is an authorization framework. I want to stress this information. OAuth is an authorization protocol, not an authentication one. Quite often I see people using or referring to OAuth as an authentication one. It isn't. It is an authorization framework, which, as you can see from the official definition provided by Internet IATF, so the Engineering Task Force of Internet, the OAuth protocol is an authorization framework which enables third-party applications to obtain a limited access to an HTTP service, that is our case whenever we consume through HTTPS, for example, the Microsoft Graph or the Office 365 APIs, either on behalf of a resource owner by orchestrating an approval interaction between the resource owner and the service, or by allowing a third-party application to obtain access on its own behalf. This is a very big sentence, which can be somehow translated in the Office 365 perspective, in which the custom software solution is an add-in or a software solution that we create. The HTTP service can be the Microsoft Graph API or the old school Office 365 APIs. And the approval interaction between the user and the API is the one that allows a user, for example, to permit access to his own calendar or mailbox to a third-party Office 365 application or Office application. And whenever we want to have a software solution that can access on his own behalf the services, the API on the HTTP service, it is an app-only access token which will be provided to the application in order to consume the service. So the Open Authorization Protocol is completely available and used by Azure AD and by our applications in order to properly consume the REST APIs provided by Office 365. However, the Open Authorization Protocol, as I already said, it's just an authorization protocol. And we, in order to be authorized to consume any service, we should also be authenticated before the authorization phase. So how can we do the authentication stuff if the open authorization protocol is just for authorization tasks? Well, there is OpenID Connect, which is a layer built on top of the open authorization protocol, which allows authentication across web and native applications and across native web applications that want to consume services provided through REST, through HTTP or HTTPS services. It's a very flexible and open protocol and technology, I mean the OpenID Connect, which can be used from multiple frameworks, development frameworks, I mean, and languages, and which leverages under the cover REST and JSON to represent the messages that are exchanged between the applications and the services and the authentication service, which will be, in our case, Azure Active Directory. So, from a developer perspective, the flow, the consumption flow, in order to access, to securely access a service, which can be, for example, the Microsoft Graph API, using OpenID Connect and the OAuth protocol, is to, first of all, authenticate the end users. Of course, if we want to consume these services using also an access token related to a specific user and not an app-only access. But if we want to do, if we want to consume a service on behalf of a specific user, we have to authenticate that user. We will get back something which is called the authorization code, which will be provided by Azure ID in our case to our own custom software solution. And this custom software solution, through the authorization code, will be able to request an access token and the refresh token. And by providing the access token within every single request that will target the services that the application want to consume, the application will be able to consume those services based on the permission, on the authorization rules defined on Azure AD, again in our case. The access token is something that expires, for example, if I'm not mistaken, in Azure AD, it expires every 30 minutes. So whenever it expires, you have a refresh token that you can use to create a new access token and to consume the services for 30 minutes more and again during the lifetime of the refresh token, which has a longer lifetime if compared with the access token, of course. So this is the flow, but how we can do that from a developer perspective. Of course, if you are a .NET developer, or more in general, a developer who uses any of the platforms supported by Microsoft, you can use ADIL, so the Active Directory Authentication Library, which is a library that right now is released in RTM version 2.2 something, and which is under development in version 3.0. And the ADIL library is available for .NET developers, but it is also available for Java, JavaScript, iOS, Android, and many other platforms. If you go on github.com/AzureAD, there you will find a bunch of implementations. So on GitHub with source code as well, which is really interesting. And from a developer perspective, which works in .NET framework, you can also download a new GET package from this URL. You can simply search in Visual Studio for Microsoft Identity Model Clients Active Directory, and you will be able to play the entire authentication and authorization flow of OAuth and OpenID Connect simply using a library, ADL, as an high-level library to consume these services. So, if you agree, Veza, we can now move to the demo environment. We can play with some low-level stuff just to understand how the OpenID Connect and the Open Authorization Protocols works at wire level, aside from any specific development technology. And then we will see how to use ADIL from a .NET developer perspective, because probably most of the people working on Office 365 right now are people coming from the, let me say, old school world of server-side development and .NET-based development. Can I say that?
Sure. I think it's a fair statement, but still I think it's a great thing to understand that there is a ADIL capability and libraries and SDKs for all of these other platforms as well. So you can really easily build those mobile devices or whatever devices which are connecting to Office 365, and the process is exactly the same. So knowing the one side to utilize the ADIL and understanding the process with an OpenID Connect and OAuth, will give you the understanding what these other solutions are doing as well.
Cool. So let's move to the demo and let's play with these technologies and protocols with our own hands. Okay, so now we are in the Office 365 Admin Center, and from the Admin Center you probably know that we have access to the Admin UI for all of the services or all the main services provided by any Office 365 tenant and subscription. On the lower left side of the screen we have the Azure AD link under the Admin group, and if you click on it you will be brought through your browser into the management portal of Azure Active Directory. I will have to sign in to my tenant. And sorry, Visa, for using Chrome, but you know I use it more easily to do multiple user authentication, while on Azure I have the integrated authentication, so I'm always logged in with my main identity. And that's
absolutely
why.
Absolutely makes sense, and I'm using Chrome quite often as well. So. Yeah, everything is cross-browser. You can choose whatever browser you want to use.
So. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So here in this, in the management portal of Azure, this is the old school one, I will have pretty soon the tenant, the directory tenant, which sits under the cover of my Office 365 subscription. And of course, here I can manage my users, my groups, the domains, and the domain integration. But what is really interesting for me now in this webcast is the applications section. In fact, within this section, I can search for already registered applications, but I can also register new custom applications that I want to define, I want to register in Azure AD in order to play with the APIs provided, for example, by Office 365. So I can simply click on the Add button, and I can browse through the gallery, or I can add an application that my organization is developing, which is my case right now. I will have to provide a name for my application, which can be PNP Webcast 01, for example. And it can be a web or web API application, or it can be a native application. It will be a web application because we will play using the browser and using Fiddler to see what happens on at the wire level. And I will click on the next button. I will have to provide a sign-in URL for my application, which will be the one used to redirect the user to when the authentication process is completed, and an App ID URI, which will be just a unique URI to uniquely identify my application. I will provide fake values here because I don't have a real application to register. So, for example, the URL, the sign-in URL will be https localhost.pnp, just to make an example, and it is a valid URL even if it doesn't exist in reality, and the App ID URI will be, for example, https pnp webcast 01, which is still unique as well.
We probably should actually start applying the pnp ending.
we can try to let's see. So right now I have my application registered in Azure AD. What does that mean? Well, if I go to the configure tab of this application, I will be able to see, of course, the sign-on URL that I provided, and I can also see that my application can be single or multi-tenant. So if I'm developing an application that I want to use on multiple Azure AD and Office 365 tenant, I can simply click on the Yes button and make it a multi-tenant application. I will have a client ID, which from an open authorization perspective is the unique ID which identifies my application against the AD system, the Azure AD system. And based on this client ID, I will be able to access, together with a shared secret, which will be a password, a secret for my application, I will be able to consume the services provided by Azure AD and by all the other services that I want to consume, making it possible for Azure AD to identify my application based on the ID and on the secret. And that's why in the keys section, I will create a new secret. For example, a secret that will last for 1 year, which will be presented to me as a shared secret token just after I will save the settings of this application. And I can see, scrolling down, I also have a permission section in which I can define the permission that my the application has to consume all the other services or the other HTTP-based services provided by the current tenant. Let me save these settings right now so that I will be able to get the client ID and the share secret. Of course, everybody will see my secret, but I will kill everybody who will use it without proper permission. I'm just kidding, of course, but I will delete the application as soon as we will complete the recording. So no worries about seeing my secret. It will not be available anymore.
Okay. On the secret, by the way, just how would we know, what would be, from your perspective, what would be the easiest way to follow up on the life cycle of the secrets? When you think of it, we are creating quite a lot of these applications and secrets for those applications, and then we're setting a 1 year or 2 year life cycle for them, which at the time when you create that, it's like, okay, that's way beyond in the future. But then at some point, these application tokens will start expiring.
Exactly. And what you can do is to, of course, set a kind of task list to be able to refresh the certificates or the share secret just before they are going to expire. And from a developer's perspective, you can configure multiple share secrets for a single application so that before the expiration of the currently used share secret, you can start using the second one, which will probably be created just a few days or a few weeks before the expiration of the current one. And also from a tooling perspective, for example, from a SharePoint developer's perspective, you can provide a main and a secondary share secret so that the application will be able to fall back to the second one just in case of need if the first one will expire. And so you are able to manage the life cycle of your share secret and to refresh the secrets every single year or every 2 years. Of course, maybe someone is wondering, why do we need to make a share secret to expire? Well, because for security reason, changing the share secret as like as changing the password you have for your own personal accounts makes sense to better protect your identity and your security. So that's why you kind of create a never expiring certificate or a never expiring share secret.
I'm just thinking out loud. It would be a great application to somebody to write, which is checking the life cycle of the existing application keys, and then it would actually send a notification that within 2 weeks, following keys will be expired. Please do something. Just throwing it out there, maybe because somebody from the community is actually building
this. Absolutely. And just in the case that there is a PowerShell API which helps you to browse through the secrets and to see what is going to expire. So it can be done as a PowerShell script, for example.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So now we have the client ID and we have the client secret or share secret, call it whatever you like. Let me open a very useful tool like Notepad and let me copy the client ID as well as the shared secret for reference, because pretty soon we will use them. So now we have registered our application, and keep in mind that you have to copy this value somewhere else in a safe place, because just after now, you will not be able anymore to see the value of the client secret. So if you don't copy this value and you change the screen and you come back to the configuration page, you will not have any more access to this information. And if you don't have it, you will have to create a new one from scratch. Okay? So be careful. Handle with care this value. So now, for example, we want to add some permissions to this application. Let me click on the Add Application. And here you can see I have a bunch of services and applications available, which are those provided by Microsoft. But of course, I can see all the other applications and not only those provided by Microsoft. So for example, I can provide permissions and authorizations for applications that I developed and I registered in my tenant. Right now, my focus is on Office 365 and on the Microsoft Graph. So I will add the Microsoft Graph API access. And just after that, I will be able to assign permissions to my application against the Microsoft Graph. So for example, I can say that my application can access some of the information of my user. I can say, for example, the view user basic profile, view user email address, or stuff like that. I can say that I want to read the email of my user, so read user email. or read and write email if I want to use the mailboxes of my user for writing as well. Or if I want to send an email, I can set a specific permission and stuff like that. And the same can be done from an app perspective. What is the difference between the delegated permissions and the application permission? Well, the delegated permissions are those provided to the application whenever the applications interact with the target service on behalf and with the access token, which represents the application and a specific user. So when I say that I want to access or I want to view user email address or I want to read user email, this will be the mailbox of the user currently logged in. When I say that I provide an application permission, this will be implied when the application is consuming the target service with an app-only token. So I will have slightly different permissions, which will be related to what the application as an app-only can do against the target service, just to make it clear for you. So, for example, read let me say that I want to read send mail as any user or read mail in all mailboxes or something like that. Just after having set up the permissions, and as you can see by default, we already have a delegated permission for Azure Active Directory in order to sign in order to use Azure AD for user authentication, I can save these settings, and as you will see pretty soon, the share secret will disappear because, as I told you, I can see it just the first time when I create it. And just after that, let's see if it is completed. Okay, so if I go back to the application and I go to the configure tab, you will see I have the client ID, but I have no more the secret, and I have the new permission set up. So now, how can we use this information? If I click on the View Endpoints button, I can see that this application is able to consume the Azure AD services from multiple endpoints, including some endpoints related to the Open Authorization Protocol. I have a token endpoint and I have an authorization endpoint. If I copy this value, this will be the URL that an application can use to ask an end user to authenticate and to get back the authorization code that we will use to request an access token, which is the flow I just described you on the slide deck. So let me copy this value on Notepad as well. And in order to consume this endpoint, we will have to do something like that. We will have to get the URL of the authorization endpoint, and we will have to add to this URL some information, which will be something like that. So let me copy and paste an already prepared URL, which is a pretty long one, in which we have the URL of the authorization endpoint. And here we can have the unique identifier, the global unique identifier of the target tenant, and we can use the common word to say that we want to go multi-tenant or we want to target the current tenant without specifying the explicit global unique identifier of our tenant. And it is my preferred way of working. I have the open authorization to endpoint and the authorize action of that endpoint. I will talk a specific version of the API. I will have a redirect URL, which will be, for example, https localhost.pmp with just one of these, which will be the URL I want to use to redirect my user to after the authentication.
And on that just a note on that one, that has to match, obviously, on the client ID configuration. But one thing what I would suggest is slightly increase the font. Readability perspective.
Sure, absolutely. Let's say 20.
Yep.
It's probably better. Okay. So this is the URL to which I will redirect my user after authentication. I want to get the authorization code, and I have to provide the client ID of my application. So I will get the value that I copied before on my Notepad, and I will use it. So this will be the URL that I can use in my browser to do user authentication and to get back an authorization code. So let me start Chrome in incognito. Let me copy this value into the URL. Let me just double check the login URL. I don't remember if I had the backslash. Yes, I had it. So here we are. In incognito, we can start to browse to this URL. As you will see, I will be prompted with the login UI of Azure Active Directory. I will provide a set of credentials of a user within my own tenant.
Yeah, because at this point, Azure doesn't actually know to which tenant and Azure AD tenants you're querying.
Exactly. Exactly, because of the common part of the URL, I will provide an identity of the tenant which has the application registered. I will provide my own password, of course, and I will do the authentication part of the story. Just after that, as you can see, I get an error, but it's totally okay. It looks wrong, but it's okay because localhost.pmp does not exist. If you look at the URL, I've been redirected to https localhost.pmp. Question mark, so the query string of the URL, code equals something. This code is the authorization code that I can use to do the access token and the refresh token request against the Azure AD environment. So let me copy this resulting URL and let me put it again in the notepad that I have here. So now, if I go to Fiddler, which is a very useful tool if you want to play with HTTP and HTTPS at the low level, you can make a request for the access token. Well, the request for the access token can be done using the endpoint, which is the token endpoint, which is this one. And again, can be with the unique ID of the tenant or with the common keyword. It's up to you. But what you have to do, if I go back in Fiddler and I use the composer of Fiddler, which allows me to do HTTP requests manually in a kind of debug mode, I can, for example, target my OAuth 2.0 token issuing endpoint, again for common or for a specific tenant. And I will have to provide some information within the request, which will have to be a post-HTTP request, not a GET one. And inside the request body, I will have to provide the information that I'm providing the authorization code that I got back from the Azure AD environment, the redirect URL to which I want to target my request, which will be, again, the URL of my service, so the service that I, the application that I've registered, which can be, for example, HTTPS in our case, HTTPS localhost.pnp. The client ID, again, one more time. And as you see, also the client secret. So now we have to authenticate as that specific application. So here is the client ID and here is the client secret. And just after that, we will have to provide the authorization code. Sorry, I did Control C instead of Control V. Sometimes it happens. Okay, and we have to provide the authorization code, which is the value that we get back. We got back in the URL, this one, from here. Sorry for the visual effect. Okay.
It's pretty long.
Yeah, it is. Until here. Okay. We paste this value here, and we say that we want to access, for example, a specific service, which can be the Microsoft Graph API, so https graph.microsoft.com. This will be the URL, the basic endpoint of the services that I want to consume. If I'm okay, if I did not any mistake, which could happen, of course, by pressing the execute button, I will be able to get back an access token and the refresh token.
So and now on the resource, you put craft.microsoft.com. So obviously need to have permissions for that particular thing, for that client ID and a secret, which we did actually in Azure AD.
Exactly. That's what we did. Exactly. So if I'm not mistaken, by pressing the execute button, I will get back a JSON response. Let's see what happens.
Crossing fingers.
Yeah, it worked. So by double clicking on this request, I can see this is my request. This is the response, which is a JSON object, which Fiddler formats properly to make it easier to read it, in which I have an access token, a refresh token. As you can see here, there is the access token, there is the refresh token, there is the ED token, and all this information define what I can do with this token. So for example, I can consume graph.microsoft.com, and the scope of my access token is to read email, write email, and read the user profile, as you can see. And I can use this token to access these services using a bearer authorization HTTP header, which we'll use shortly. So let's say that we want to consume the Microsoft Graph to see the profile information or the mailbox of the current user. What I can do is to copy the access token value. I can go into the composer. I can target a new URL, which will be, for example, the one of the Microsoft Graph, so graph.microsoft.com/v1, which is the currently released version of the API, /me, which is the default endpoint for the current user profile. I will have to do a GET request, so I don't need any content in the request body. And I will have to provide an authorization HTTP header of type bearer with the value of the access token.
So the access token actually contains also then information about the actual user, right? Because at this point,
exactly,
we don't have a session open up with a Office 365 or Azure AD. So therefore, you're essentially just throwing a request towards Azure AD or the graph, and that access token actually contains all the needed information to craft, figure out to whose account we're actually querying and what is the permissions and all of that.
Exactly. In fact, if we go back to the browser just for a while and we go to, for example, the HTTPS JWT.io site, here we can play with the JWT token and we can decode it. So if I put it, if I put the value of my token here, I can encode it and I can see that this token in reality contains information about the audience, so the graphmicro.com that we will go to consume, who issued the token, when the token is valid from when to when, so not before and expire on. This is a Unix-like format to represent a date and time. I have the ID of the application, I have the information about the user, the IP address, and all the other information related to the current user context. So here I have all the information which define who is the user, who is the application, and what can we do against the target service. Makes of course, this information has to be provided over HTTPS, because otherwise, if someone will grab this information, will be able to access the target service on our own behalf. That's why we have to always, always use HTTPS and never use HTTP when we go through open authorization. So, sure. Let me go back and let me make a GET request for my own profile. Again, cross your fingers, execute. And here I have a JSON response, as you can see. If
that
I double click on it, yeah, very fast, because Office 365 is fast, of course. come on. And here I have my user profile. I have my information. And if I try to access my mailbox, for example, I can do the same. I can do something like that, mailboxes, if I'm not mistaken. So, execute. Oh, no, I'm mistaken. Okay.
Isn't it just mail, right?
Maybe mail. I don't remember every single endpoint. Yeah, it is mail. Well done, Lisa. Okay, and now I have access to my mail. Okay, and within my mail, I have my mailboxes, my folders, and all the stuff. Okay, so that's pretty easy. And what if the access token expires? Well, again, using the same approach that we used before, we can make another request against the token endpoint. We can say that now we want to use the refresh token instead of the authorization code. So we will go to send a refresh token. We will still have the same redirect URI, the same client ID, the same client secret, but instead of using the authorization code that we got before, we will use the refresh token, which was included in the response we got back when we requested the access token. So if I copy this one, I go back to the composer, and I put this value here, I can make another request based on the refresh token. And as you can see, I will get back another access token, a refreshed one, and a new refresh token that I can use for some other time to request much more access tokens. So I play this way.
And update exactly values for the expiration. But now, doesn't it, sorry, Paula, jumping on that one, doesn't, so this implies that whenever you're writing an application towards a graph, you always want to double check that if you're getting a authorization denied, or whatever the exception is, you probably know that as well, or remember that, you need to have the ready-to-use code to get the updated access token.
Exactly. But luckily, and that's the last part of the demo, we have ADAL, which does the magic for us. So let me jump very briefly to Visual Studio. Here I have an application, which we will use also in some other webcast related to the Microsoft Graph API, in which I have added the reference to the NuGet package for ADAL for .NET. So, using ADAL for .NET, I can use this library to do all the under-the-cover tasks and used for having the access token, the refresh token, and all the other stuff. So, if you search for the client library, which should be here somewhere, let me search for Microsoft or ADAL, probably it's easier. ADAL, Microsoft Identity Model Clients Active Directory, which is already installed in my environment. You can add it to your solutions, and you can do something like that. Here I have a helper class, which I called Microsoft Graph Helper, in which I have a get access token for current user method. And whenever you need to consume an API, which is secured through Azure AD and through these protocols, you can simply do something like that. You can create an authorization context, which is a type provided by ADAL. You will have to provide the target tenant, which is called also authority. You could have, in a web-based environment, a cache token, cache for tokens, which would be used to store and to cache the access token and the refresh token of every single user. And whenever you want to get an access token, you can simply invoke the acquire token silent method, which will do the magic for you. I mean, if you have a valid access token, it will retrieve it from the cache. If you don't have a valid access token, it will go through the refresh token, will create a new valid access token, and will give you back that new refreshed access token, so that after the method invocation, you will have in this result variable, which is an authentication result, the access token property, which is the value that you need to use to access the target service. Of course, if for any reason the refresh token is expired, the logon session is expired, or whatever else, you will get an exception, which will be something like this. And you will be able to do a new challenge using the OWIN, Open Windows Library, and you will be able to do a new challenge to make another authentication for the user and to get back a new access token and a new refresh token to restart from scratch the authorization and authentication process. Whenever your end user will access for the first time your web application, within the startup section, the startup authorization and authentication section of your web application, you will be able, through the OWIN library, to do the Open ID Connect authentication, which will do the first part of the story. So it will request the authorization code and will make the first request for the first access token. So whenever we get an authorization code within our own application, imagine that this is the code that is invoked whenever the Azure AD infrastructure redirects the user browser back to your application, providing the authorization code in the URL, as like as we did manually just a few minutes ago. You get the authorization code, and again, using ADAL, you can create the same authorization context class as before, and you can make an acquire token by authorization code, providing the authorization code that you got in the URL, in the query string. So basically, what we did at the first step using the browser is here in this app out in startup out.cs class. And just after that, we will have in the cache the access token and the refresh token. And whenever we need to consume any service, we can simply ask to the authorization context to retrieve the token from the cache onto or to refresh the access token using the refresh token. And that's everything else will be done. Yeah.
And that's everything else will be done automatically for you, right? So, but this is just to reinforce the message. This is pretty much again plumbing, which you will just have on every single application. So you don't always need to figure out. You just copy paste essentially these sections for applications, and you're good to go.
Exactly. And in fact, whenever I make an HTTP request in my sample application, I simply create an HTTP client instance. I set the authorization HTTP header with a bearer value and with the access token I can get from the helper method, and I'm done. And then I make my HTTP request. And I can do that in .NET, I can do that in JavaScript, or wherever I want.
Yeah.
So, pretty straightforward, yeah. So, we can go back to the slide deck. I hope you understood how the Azure AD and the OpenAD Connect protocols work from an Azure AD perspective and from an Office 365 perspective. And of course, all the demos will be made available on the PNP site pretty soon. They will be included in the Microsoft Graph API demos to be fair. I don't know, Visa, if you have any question, any topic to touch more on
this? Well, not really. I think the one of the things what people probably want, Obert, and we'll share it in the video notes, are those URLs, because I think that's really important that people are able to repeat what you did within the demo, which was great. So thank you for that, because I think that everybody who's now listening or watching the video as well can understand now better what actually happens when we're communicating with Azure AD. So.
Yeah, we will share a kind of a script, a demo script to allow people to play again with this kind of game or demo using Fiddler and browser and all the stuff. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Excellent. But anyway, good job on the demo. I think that was really interesting and interesting to see how things actually work. And I think for the, let's say, if you're moving into that area for Azure AD right now, this might sound really terrifying, but after working on a few days on these things and getting this clarity on what actually happens and understanding what the ADL actually is, it's not that big of a deal. So you can actually concentrate on the business logic. All of this plumbing will be taken kind of care of by copy-pasting the code even, or, well, it's important to understand what are you copy-pasting, but it's not like we will spend hours or days and days and days for figuring out to make things work. That's not what happens, actually, because we have a lot of these videos available and guidance available as well.
True. Yeah. So cool. That's all, I think, for this webcast. So thank you, Visa.
Thank you, Paolo. Thank you, Paolo, for joining. And we'll do another one related on some of the Azure AD stuff slightly later with Paolo. And thank you, everybody who's watching the video. And please keep on giving us feedback in the channel 9 or in the Yammer, BMP Yammer group, which is the primary communicational channel around the videos as well. So thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, Paolo. And we'll be coming up with a new one sooner or later.